bless you. Revelation 19 and 1. And I'll try and not take up a lot of your time here. Revelation 19 and 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! There's number two, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. There's number three. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His saints, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I want to preach just a little while on end time. Hallelujah. Amen. Revelation, amen, is a wonderful book. And I know some people have tried to understand it to the point that it blew their mind. But I'll tell you, there's a blessing written in there for anybody that would read the book of Revelation. And I'll tell you here that we may not completely understand everything about the book of Revelation, but I do understand there's a blessing about God's Word. Amen. The Bible says, starting out here in Revelation 19, and after these things. Well, there's been a lot going on throughout this book of Revelation. Amen. Chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us what Revelation, the book, is about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not just that Jesus is revealing some things and opening up the curtain of the future and things that we do not know about. But the book of Revelation itself reveals Jesus Christ. Amen. We look at Him and see who He is in all of His nature and His great power and His wonder. Amen. In Revelations 1 through 3, we see Him as the glorified Christ that walks among the candlesticks of the church. Amen, that His flaming, fiery eyes examines every motive, understands every thought. Amen, He can burn through the doctrinally correct church, Ephesus, and look right down into their hearts. Amen, and see that their love has grown cold. Amen, He can burn through, amen, the riches of Laodicea and see that they themselves are lukewarm. He can burn through the reputation of Sardis when He looks at them and say, you have a name that you live. And I'm telling you, I know who you are. You're dead. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, it didn't matter what reputation they had. It didn't matter what riches they had. It didn't even matter what good things they had. Jesus' eyes burned through and saw exactly who they were. Amen. Even that poor persecuted church, Smyrna. Amen. He burned through what looked like failure. He burned through what looked like to the world as something that was absolutely a rejection, and said, I know that it looks like you're poor, but I say you're rich. I know it looks like you don't have much of a reward because they're persecuting you, but I'm telling you, there's a great reward for you if you'll stay faithful. I've got something good laid up for you. Amen. The second death isn't going to hurt you. Amen. Oh, let me just tell you, Jesus was the Christ among the churches in Revelation 1 through 3. And then we get to see Him, amen, if I may say, Revelation 5 and 6 is almost like, amen, a prelude to the judgment that's going to go on. It's as if there's an explanation why that the Lord has the power and the ability to judge this whole world. Revelation chapter 5 or chapter 4 rather, in verse 11, those in heaven the 24 elders and the beasts and different ones praise Him and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Can I tell you, Jesus is going to judge this world one day because He created this world. All things were created by Him, the Bible says. I'm going to tell you that scripture right there proves that Jesus was not created. He can't create all things and be created. Amen. He's the maker of all things. And I want you to also understand that we were made for His pleasure, not for our own self-satisfaction, not for our own self-improvement, self-advancement, and self-pleasure, but it's for His pleasure that we are and were created. Hallelujah. Amen. Later on, the 24 elders and the rest of them in Revelation 5 and 9 said, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah. I'll tell you why Jesus can judge this old world is because when this world rebelled against the authority of the Creator, amen, God in His love sent a Redeemer to this world to purchase us out of sin, amen, and cause us to be worthy to go to glory and go to heaven. Amen. I'll tell you, the world not only sins against the authority of God's creative power, but they sin against God's love every time they sin. Amen. And that's why Jesus has the ability to open up the seals. Amen. To set loose the trumpets. Amen. The vials of wrath. Jesus created the world. Amen. He has authority to judge the world. Jesus redeemed the world. He has authority. He gave them a second chance. There's people in heaven in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. 24 elders, but they must be more than just 24, because the Bible says they're from every kindred, tribe, and nation. Amen. How can there just be? There's more nations than 24. There's more kindreds than 24. There's more. You know, are y'all going to receive that right now? Y'all are going to back up on me. Amen. You know, 24 is a representative number in the Bible. I don't want to go too fast here, but in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, amen, chapter 8 maybe, amen, David set up the priest to serve in courses. Amen. The reason was is the family of the priesthood got so large, amen, they could not enter into the temple and all minister. And so he set them up in courses of 24. Amen. One high priest, 24 priests that represented the rest of the priestly family. Now, the 24 was not just all there was of the priest. There was a bigger priestly family. Hallelujah. It was just the representative number of those people right there. Well, let me preach to you just a little bit. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, you remember when that Ezekiel saw those 25 men with their back to the temple and their face towards the sun. He was saying that the priesthood is corrupt. The high priest and the priest family is corrupt. They turned their back on Jehovah God and are worshiping Baal, the sun god. That's what he was saying. And so all that I'm trying to prove right here is this is a bigger number than 24. Amen. And they're saying, You redeemed us. Yes, You redeemed us from every kindred and tribe and nation. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, He has the authority to take the book. He has the authority to break the seals. He has the authority, amen, to bring the trumpet blowers up there, the angelic band that's blowing trumpet blast of judgment upon this world. He has the authority to unleash the judgment upon this world. Amen. Because even though mankind rebelled, God made a way out. God made a way of escape. God made a way where they would not have to be judged unless they chose to be judged. There's redeemed in heaven that's singing God's praise and glorifying Him. Woo. Amen. Oh, let me tell you. Amen. There's judgments that kill 1/4 of the population. In Revelation 6, judgment that, hey man, kill one third. In Revelation 9, that's half. And that's not counting the ones that die of the poison water. Amen. And judgments upon the sea and different things. I'm telling you, it's going to be a horrible time. Amen. But Jesus is waging war with this old world, my friend. Amen. Jesus said, all right, I've given you time, amen, to repent. But here it is. I'm bringing this down to the place of judgment. He also shows that He knows all things. Amen. By revealing to us not only the judgments He has planned, but also, amen, the armies, amen, and the people and the plan of the devil. You know, the devil can't do anything that God don't know about. Amen. Amen. The devil does not know everything. And I'm telling you this, God knows all things. Amen. He can even tell what the devil's going to do. Amen. And so therefore, we see two beasts coming up. Amen. A political leader in Revelation 13. Amen. A religious leader. Amen. We see the mark of the beast, 666. An economic system set up. A worship system set up. We see an end time empire. Amen. Yeah. You take a look at it. I can't get into all that. But Jesus knows it all. Amen. The 144,000 that's sealed in Revelation 7. Amen. The number that no man can number in that same chapter as well. Amen. The two witnesses in Revelation 11. Hallelujah. The sun-clothed woman in Revelation 12. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. The great whore, mystery Babylon, the harlot church that gathers together all religions into one in the end of time in Revelation 17, and the judgment of commercial Babylon, amen, in Revelation 18. That's what happened. Amen. And after these things, yeah, amen, you think that the Lord's lost control of this old world? No, He hadn't lost control of this old world. I realize that the harlot church seems to be doing better now than it's ever been. Amen. It seems like it's sucking people in, and folks are taking, amen, allegiance to the harlot church of Rome and the worldly apostate church among the Protestants. Amen. Let me tell you something. Amen. Her salvation is an ecumenical salvation where it don't matter what you believe, just so long as you trust in God some way. Amen. At the Pope's funeral, there were Protestant leaders. Amen. There was Hindus and Muslims. Amen. There was communists. They were all there at the Pope's funeral. Now, I just want to tell you something. Back just 20 or 30 years ago, you couldn't have got all those people at one funeral. But we are in the end of time, and there's a spirit gathering people together in this last day spiritual church. Amen. Of iniquity. Amen. Yes. The charismatic movement, amen, was a movement without doctrine but tongues. Amen. Just so long as you spoke in tongues, it didn't matter if you worshiped Mary and bowed down to statues. It did not matter if in some way that you lived a wicked life. Tongues was the seal of approval. No doctrine, just tongues. Amen. Yeah. Let me tell you, there's another little thing coming out. And I'm not going to say that every page of this book you're going to read bad in. But there is a second plan, I believe, that's come about. Amen. Because I remember looking in the book section, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you're dealing with the apostate church. And I was looking in the church growth section. Amen. And I read some of them books. I like to get things organized to go out and reach our community and stuff. If somebody's got an idea, I want to do it. I just want you to know. Amen. A lot of these church growth books, amen, are absolutely leading churches that it were one time at least separate in what they said from the Church of Rome into that. Amen. The purpose-driven church has some good points as far as organizing your church around the purposes of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, anybody that's not really settled and founded in doctrine, amen, probably shouldn't even read the book. Amen. It bugs me. I think every young preacher ought to read a doctrine book before they read a sermon book. Amen. It really bugs me. We got preachers that can get up and rattle off other preachers' messages. And I've read books too and preached from books too. And I'm not just preaching against that, but they can rattle off somebody else's thinking, but they don't have the solid doctrine settled in their own heart and mind. They don't know how to explain them. They don't know how to teach them. I tell you, I think a young preacher is handicapped, amen, if they get into sermon books before they get right down to knowing Bible doctrine and understanding what the Bible teaches. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Amen. But the purpose-driven life and purpose-driven church, there's several compromises. It says church growth without compromise. And I'll tell you, the devil's always full of false advertisement. Amen. It compromises the Word of God by using other perversions of the Word. Amen. If you don't believe they're perversions, amen, take the NIV and turn to Isaiah 14. And instead of saying, "How art thou fallen, amen, from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning," it says, "How art thou fallen, O morning star." You know, Jesus is the bright and morning star. Did you know that? Amen. Did you know? Amen. The New Age movement and Luciferians and different ones equate the morning star in their worship, amen, of the devil. Yeah, they like that passage. And the spirit of the age has changed the Word of God. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Amen. The perversions of the Word of God, the false gospel. Amen. This man, Rick Warren, quotes from Robert Schuller quite a bit. And Schuller does not believe the gospel nor the Word of God. He's a humanist. He believes you can get saved. He said he went to the deathbed of John Wayne. And he said, "John Wayne got saved." And he said, "You know how he got saved?" He said, "I went in there and talked to him about a bunch of stuff." And he said, "I mentioned the name of Jesus before I left. And John Wayne said nothing bad about Jesus when I said his name. And so therefore John Wayne accepted him." I just want you to know, it's still repentance. It's still belief in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that brings about salvation. Amen. It's not this newfangled gospel. Amen. Believe anything you want to and go to heaven. No, you got to believe the true gospel or you're going to die lost and go to hell. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Amen. This apostate church. By the way, Rick Warren accepts Catholics as members in his church. And uplifts Mother Teresa. And I'm not saying Mother Teresa wasn't a self-sacrificing person that loved the poor. But I'll tell you what. You can do all that and still go to hell if you worship idols. Amen. Worship Mary. You can do all that and be a good example in some ways and still be lost forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Mother Teresa was asked and said to her, are you in the practice of trying to convert people? She said, "Oh, no." She said, "If you're a Hindu, I'm in the business of converting you to be a better Hindu. If you're a Protestant, I want you to be a better Protestant. And if you're a Catholic, I want you to be a better Catholic." Let me tell you, none of those religions mix. None of them. Amen. I'll just be honest. I'm in the business right here of bringing people to Jesus Christ and repentance. Amen. The salvation of this end time apostate church is ecumenical.
communicable. Let's just get along. The only thing they're against is somebody that'll take a stand. Amen. The only thing that they really hate is somebody that believes the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, that's her salvation. Her glory is in her worldliness. Read Revelation 17. How is she advertised? Amen. She's dressed in the richest garments. She's got earrings, amen, and gold. And all of that decoration speaks that the glory of the end time church, amen, is of the natural. It's what you can see and feel. Amen. It's the riches, amen, that she has gathered together in this world. It's not the riches of Christ. It's not the riches of the unseen. It's the riches of the here and now. Well, I'm not doing too good getting through my introduction just yet. I hope the Lord will help me. Amen. But, you know, jewelry has always been associated with paganism. That's where it started. It started in Egypt. It started in Babylon. It was associated with idolatry. Every place in the Word of God is talked about in a moral sense. And I know there's sometimes it's typology or something along that line. But the fact is, when it's spoken of in a moral sense, it's always connected with idolatry. Amen. In Exodus, the children of Israel did get jewels and stuff as they left. As they left Egypt, they got to wear them, evidently. And then it wasn't too long until Moses was gone for just a little while. And instead of Aaron, amen, doing what he could to back up the man of God while he was gone, because God wanted him to be gone, Aaron went right along with him. Went right along with these apostates. Say, we want a calf, okay? Or, well, give me that jewelry you've got. Amen. Break it off. Get it out of your ears and bring it here. And I'll tell you, there are some people that's taken such a low stand, amen, on jewelry, that their churches are getting so full of jewelry, amen, that in all reality, I think they could make a whole herd of calves, amen, if Aaron was around. Oh, God. Well, I really need to hurry. I was trying to preach real fast, but I'm slowing down. God help me. And you see, you got to understand. Later on in Exodus 33 and verse 8, I believe it is. Amen. God told them after he came down, after Moses came down, God told them, amen, if you want to show me you're repentant, get the jewelry off. Take your ornaments off. Amen. And I'll tell you, if this modern day church wants to repent, they're going to have to take their jewelry off. Amen. You're more valuable than gold. You're going to walk on gold. You can't make yourself more glorious by putting gold in your ears and on your fingers. Amen. No, you can't. It resorts back to paganism. Oh, God. Amen. That's their glory. Their glory is in what they can show off in this world. What do we got here? Amen. Their power. Their honor, actually. Their honors is how people exalt them in this world. Amen. May I say, I have a whole lot of political convictions. It's like Brother Ralph was speaking here today. And I will be thankful if every religion that believes in some morals would actually vote for the moral candidate. But I cannot, even though I'd be thankful, if a moral Mormon would vote for the right candidate. I'd be thankful. I cannot overlook their wicked gospel. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, if we're not careful, my friends, if we're not careful, we'll start looking the other way just because somebody believes similar to us. Amen. It doesn't matter if they believe similar to us. If they don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't care if they're angels from heaven. They're accursed from God. Oh, yes. Amen. Their power is in their entertainment, their television ministries, the way they put on their show. Amen. The way I'm telling you, that is not the way that we, amen, must do. Oh, God. Amen. That's the end time church. Their glory, their honor, their power, their salvation. I'm preaching to you here this afternoon, amen, that in the end, after all of these things, amen, there was a sign of great celebration in heaven. There was a sign of great hallelujahs in heaven. Hallelujah means praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Only four times in the New Testament are these words used, and it's in Revelation 19. Amen. The people in heaven, the angels of heaven, amen, the glory of heaven rejoices when a sinner repents, amen, it rejoices, amen, when the redeemed are taken to heaven, because when Jesus comes back, there's going to be the shout of an archangel, amen, yeah, heaven rejoices, I'm telling you, heaven's going to rejoice when this false religious system is finally showed for the sham, amen, and the fake that it really is forever and ever. It may look powerful. It may look wonderful. In fact, there's a scripture that I've read in Revelation 17 and verse 5. Amen. When that John saw the great harlot, said, I wondered with great admiration. In verse 6, the angel there said, wherefore didst thou wonder? Oh, there's something impressive. There's something impressive about the numbers there. There's something impressive about the power there. There's something impressive about the honor there, the glory there. Oh, there is. Oh, but let me tell you something else.
If all you was looking at was the glitter and the shine and the show, amen, and how nice everything was, how rich everything was, that it might be easy to get taken up in the wonder of the apostate church and even go that way. I'll tell you, I've got my eyes set on another place, another glory, another honor, other power, amen, that's a lot higher, amen, than any honor, power, and glory in this world. Amen. That first hallelujah, amen, tells us of the fidelity of God's judgment. Amen. It says salvation belongs to God, not to these false churches. Real salvation belongs to God. And since it belongs to Him, I'm going to preach His gospel and stay true to what He says. Amen. Since that I look and see that He's worthy of honor. Amen. Everlasting honor. And since I see that He has a glory that's above the brightness of the sun, and it's not just some glittering gold and jewels hanging on people's ears and on people's fingers, I'll tell you, the glory over there is a whole lot better than the glory here in this world. As I look, amen, I see that there's power, everlasting power. The kingdoms of this world may stand like a golden, amen, silver, bronze, iron statue. Amen, but there's coming a rock one of these days that's going to smite the kingdoms of this world and grind them to powder. The winds of eternity will blow them away. Amen, they will be forgotten, but there'll be a mountain that's everlasting. Hallelujah, that's glorious. I say hallelujah. Amen, let the Lord God omnipotent reign. Hallelujah. Amen. Secondly, I see that second hallelujah, amen, speaks to us of the finality of the judgment. The smoke of her torment, amen, ascended forever. Hey man, it's all over. It may have looked good for a while. It may have looked good for an amazing bit of years. Hey man, it looked all powerful, almighty. But there came a time, hey man, when it all burned to a cinder. And the only thing that was left, hallelujah. I'd repent, but I'll tell you, I'd rather wait. Amen. I'd rather wait for glory than take it too soon. I'd rather wait for the power than try to manufacture it. Amen. I'd rather wait for honor from God than steal it down here in this world. Hallelujah. Amen. The third one. Whew. They said, hallelujah, amen. Or amen, hallelujah. Amen means it is trustworthy. Right, brother? It is trustworthy. I know I heard all my life that it meant so be it. Amen. But Brother Barnett preached a message at our church. Amen. Changed my mind about that. Means it is trustworthy. Hallelujah. Oh, this is faithful, friend. Amen. Just as sure as we're at Bristow, amen, there's going to come a day, amen, when there's going to be a judgment of the false and a proving of the true. It's trustworthy. Hallelujah! It's trustworthy. Hey, boy, I tell you, I've been feeling like I've been going through the battle. Amen. It looks as though all this wickedness, amen, the more wicked they become, the more glorious they become. Amen. The more compromise they show, amen, the more honor they have. Amen. Let me tell you, I'd rather be with the suffering despised, amen, and glorified over there, because it's trustworthy. There's a reward one of these days for the faithful preachers of God's Word that stand for what's right. Even if you're persecuted. Even if, amen, they say all manner of evil against you falsely. Oh, it's trustworthy. Oh, you've heard that story about the missionary coming home. Amen. And some dignitary was on the boat and there was a band playing and everybody was all honoring this dignitary as he got off the boat. Amen. He said, boy, it just don't seem right, Lord. Nobody's here to meet me. It just seems kind of, I've given my life. I've sacrificed. I think his wife and maybe children died. He said, don't make sense. Amen. And the Lord said, you're not home yet. Oh. It's trustworthy. It's trustworthy. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to happen one of these days. Well, amen, that final hallelujah, amen, shows us the gathering of the faithful to praise the rule of God. Hallelujah. Let's get all the saints together. Let's get them all together. Oh yeah, they're gathering all together down there. They've got their little army. Yeah, let's get all our saints together. They got their atomic bombs. They got all their weapons. And they don't even know. They're going to be shooting at people with glorified bodies. You can't kill somebody that's been raised from the dead. Shoot your atomic bomb. Whoopee. We don't even need armor. All we need is white robes and horses. And we'll just gallop through the smoke and watch Jesus cut them down with the sword of His mouth. Hallelujah. Gather together your best church, your most glorious armaments. Amen. Gather it together as big as you can. I'm telling you, there's a gathering in heaven when they start looking down and seeing judgment has already started. Judgment has already began. Whew. Amen. It said, gather together all the saints. So, the 24 elders gather. Amen. They come on up here. Amen. They come on. Praise God. Brother Darrell, come on up here. 24 elders. And since they're a representative of number, I'll let you represent the 24 elders. Amen. Then, amen. Then we've got that 144,000. Glory. Amen, Brother Brian, come on up here. Amen, you represent the 104. Amen, all. Let's get everybody together now. Amen, we got to get everybody together. No, y'all ain't supposed to be over there. You're supposed to be over here. Amen, we're getting everybody together. Amen, then we'll get that number no man can number. Brother Rich, you can represent those people. Amen, we'll let you represent those people. Come on over here. We're getting everybody together. Amen, Revelation chapter 11. The two witnesses, they all, amen, they're all dead. I tell you, they've been causing torment to this old world, calling fire down from heaven. Amen, my eyes been a sight. And when finally they get the power to kill them, they have Christmas time. They give presents. Everybody's happy. Then in Revelation chapter 11, at verse 11, all of a sudden the Lord says, get up. Hallelujah. And in front of everybody, amen, all people see it. Amen, they rise up and go up to meet the Lord. Hallelujah, and they're in heaven. Amen, Brother Randall, come on up here. Amen, you be the two witnesses here. Hallelujah, let's get everybody together. Amen, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, let's get everybody together. Amen, all the false religion that started at Babylon had continued on. I want you to see something. Amen, you that stood for what was right and preached the gospel. Amen, I'm telling you, I want you to see something. Their glory has faded, but your glory is shining. Amen, their honor is diminished, but you're well done. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Their power's gone. Amen, but I'm going to make you, the Lord would say, kings and priests, and you shall rule forever and ever and ever. Oh, they wore gold, you walk on gold. Amen, they enjoyed an inheritance in this world, but he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Whoo! No wonder. They said, hallelujah! Would y'all say it? Hallelujah! I have a feeling they're going to be more excited over there. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. You know what the message is? It may seem like everybody has compromised, but not everybody did. It may seem like that old worldly false apostate church has grown to the shrinking of the real church, but not everybody went with it. Oh, glory. Not everybody went with it. Not everybody went with it. Glory. I don't know about you. I know this is all. This is just as good as history written in advance. And I just hope that the Lord saw your face, or John saw your face in that number. I just hope that he saw your face. Woo! Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Brother Darrell, you got some scripture you want to read there?
All right. No, you...
Let me tell you something right now. Amen. When we get over there, all the trials of this world are going to be counted as nothing. Amen. The Apostle Paul evidently had already taken a trip there. Amen. And although he had went through a lot of shame and suffering, he said, I can tell you that the glory over there, not even to be compared with the suffering that I'm going through right here. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Amen. And the second death shall not hurt you. Whew.
Not everybody's going that way. There's some people going to be saying hallelujah over there. Let me tell you, we might as well start right here. We've got together. God's brought us together. We might as well have a mini celebration down here. Hey man, one of these days it's all going to pay off. One of these days it's all going to be well. Hey man, everybody will be happy over there. But everybody can be happy right here if we get our eyes upon that glorious day. Hey man, we can say hallelujah. The Lord be praised. Oh, I'm going through something, Brother Mark preached to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it past that. Woo! Hey, boy, I tell you what, this seems like work. It is work, but it's a work that's going to be rewarded someday. I'm going to get past being tired. I'm going to get past being tired one day. Woo! I'm going to get past being tired. I'm going to get so well that, amen, I won't ever wear out ever again. I won't ever get sick ever again. Won't ever be a possibility of it. Well, glory. I can't even begin to describe what it's like. My little boy, Stephen, he was trying to figure, you know, think about God. He's 4 years old. And he'd been telling us things that God can do nobody else can. And boy, he's just trying to think about how powerful and great God is. And he came up to me one day and smiled. He said, "Daddy, did you know God can stand on one tippy toe?" I said, "Is that right, son?" I said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Man, I can only stand on one foot." You say, "Boy, that's childish." It is. But I think the way I preach is childish once we get over there. They're going to say, "Boy, do you remember those messages?" Boy, we didn't know much, did we? Woo! Hey, man, boy, we run around talking about God standing on one tippy toe, and we didn't even know. We had no idea how powerful God is, how glorious God is, how we can't figure it out. I'll tell you what, it's better to get in the practice of saying hallelujah and giving Him praise right now. Yeah, it's just, we might as well get in the practice of lifting Him up. Oh, let's say it, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard the voice of many waters like thunder saying hallelujah. 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 The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Praise Him again. I'm through. Honey, you feel like singing? Come on and sing just a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Amen.
Oh, glory.
Well, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I've laid my burden down.
Amen.